Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Our brains are incredibly adept at repair.
The me nobody sees.
We create our own realities.
A deep insight into mental health.
This is indeed the me nobody sees. It is our monthly mental health awareness programme. Today we are joined by three lovely ladies. Sandra Evely.
Hi.
Hi. Michelle Mack.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And Gemma Lee. Edelman, is that the right way to say your surname?
It is. Thank you.
Wonderful. We are going to be concentrating on burnout today, but as always, if you want to get in touch with anything to do with mental health or mental health awareness, ask our experts any questions or just join in the conversation, you can give us a call on 952 78 4000. You can WhatsApp 645 99 67 95 or you can email studio@tre.radio.
The Me Nobody Sees, a deep insight into mental health.
Okie dokie. Well, we were just talking off air. I want to start with you, Gemma, because you are a coach.
I am. I'm a social coach.
A social coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying, I immediately think of burnout as being when people are too busy at the jobs and stressed with family, etc., etc. But as we were all saying, there's lots of different types of burnout.
There are. And, you know, as we were just saying, so many people automatically link it to, you know, kind of the work side and things getting too much and then our body shutting down because of the pressure and the stress. But as we were sharing just before when we were chatting, you know, those same symptoms and sensations can come through in so many different areas of our lives, whether it be because, you know, we've been through a huge loss, whether it be physical burnout because maybe we've got some, you know, some kind of ongoing illnesses that are plaguing us and making things a little bit more difficult to, you know, to cope with the day-to-day things that are happening in
our
lives.
Yeah, different types of burnout. And that brings me to you, Michelle, because you've had your own form of burnout recently, haven't you, lovely?
Yes. I suppose it's... how do you express it? I wouldn't say it's grief burnout, but it is sort of grief burnout. I have, obviously, as some of you will know, lost my mum in the last 8 months. And immediately after her passing, I had a series of things that I couldn't stop from happening. So I never had any opportunity to actually stop and grieve. And all of a sudden, I found myself 6 months later down the line, absolutely unable to cope with anything at all, because I'd not dealt with what I'd needed to deal with, which was her loss, because I'd had so many other things to have to deal with. And yes, it was a kind of burnout, or it is a kind of burnout. And I just literally had to say, enough, everybody. I can't do any more. I need some time out. I need to step back. I need to concentrate and focus on myself and just deal with the things that I needed to or I had to on a day-to-day basis until I could slowly bring myself back to where I needed to be. And that included setting boundaries, giving other people things to do. There are many ways to deal with burnout, and not all burnouts affect everybody the same way or we have the same symptoms. For me, I was very, very physically exhausted. I just couldn't do anything. I had no energy. My brain was mush. And I think that tends to be the case for most people when they've got burnout.
Is that a typical example of burnout, Gemma?
I mean, I was just going to say, actually, that, you know, quite often we think about the physical side of it and it's not talked about enough, you know, how, you know, intense emotions can cause that almost physical breakdown of the body.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can relate to that from the other level with the BPD and how things, you know, all of us, our bodies can only tolerate so much.
Exactly.
And at some point, whether we're going through burnout, whether we're going through stress, whether we're going through depression, anything emotional has a knock-on effect on our physical being, and we will experience some sort of physical reaction to it.
And Sandra, you and I both understand depression quite well. Oh, I'm not got you up, love. Let me just do that. Yeah, just get a little bit closer to the microphone. That's it. Burnout can lead to depression. It can be the cause of depression, and then depression is so difficult to get out of.
It does. And for me, the first time it really happened badly, as you're aware, I come on the programme afterwards, it was the worst thing I'd ever happened. I thought I'd fallen down a rabbit hole like Alice in Wonderland and had no comprehension what was happening, and eventually got on very strong antidepressants and come up. But it took a year. I mean, I didn't want to... Well, I was on suicide watch for a month, and tiredness was one of the major factors, and not being aware of anything around you. You could see something and you could step over it all the time because it didn't make any difference to you. And I had another little blip, I will call it a blip, last year. And I phoned my daughter just before Christmas when I was feeling better, and I said, I swept my path this week. She went, hooray, Mum.
It's a big step.
It was a big step.
It's massive. I don't think people realise how enormous the physical side of it is in that sense. And I think particularly, and please don't take this the wrong way, gentlemen, but particularly for women, often women are mothers, they're often working, they're often juggling more than one or two things at a time. So we'll often put that exhaustion down to something else and sweep it under the carpet and think, oh, well, I'm busy, I'm doing so much, I'm this and that. And it isn't actually. It's a really, really important sign that you should really look at.
And if any gentleman out there doesn't agree, we'd love you to call or write in, because we don't get enough men contributing to this show.
Absolutely.
In the years we've been doing it, we've had one man join the panel, and we've had a few men messages from time to time, but it's normally women.
And men get burnout.
Of course they do.
I was just going to say that, actually, that a question that a lot of people ask me is, you know, do I just work with women? Because, you know, these things, they're just for women.
It's not. And definitely not.
It's definitely not. And I think that, you know, men and women societally have different issues, different pressures. So, you know, like Michelle was just saying, women, we tend to, you know, keep the families together. We're busy being parents or aunties or, you know, running our businesses, running households, and we're juggling so many things all at the same time that we forget to put the focus on ourselves, because it's just constantly
outside. But we also speak to one another.
I was just going to say that. They don't.
The men won't speak about it. They won't speak to one another. You might be able to speak on a one-to-one with a guy and draw a little bit out of him, but he won't speak to another fella about it because it's a sign of weakness.
That's it. It's a shame, isn't it?
Definitely for, you know, older generations, and I don't mean old people, I just mean, you know, my generation. I'm 43, my generation and above.
Whippersnapper.
Yeah, you're young. Why, thank you. I'll take that compliment. I think that you're right. I think that there's this huge pressure around men and men's mental health and what is allowed and what emotions they are allowed to feel, what emotions they are allowed to share with the world. And I think that that is a huge pressure for them. And that is one of the things that, you know, that they carry the weight of.
Totally.
However, I'll bring a little bit of hope to this. I work with quite a lot of younger people as well. And even my son, who's going to be 14 on Saturday, I see such a huge difference. So on For Valentine's Day at his high school, there was this big thing, and they could all buy carnations. So they could order in these carnations for whoever they wanted and these personalised key rings. And he ordered a key ring and a carnation for me and a key ring and a carnation for his dad, for my husband. But he also bought two carnations for his two best friends. Boyfriends.
Wow.
Brilliant.
You know, and brilliant. Like, they are so much more, like, they hug each other. And if they're having a bad time, it's like, don't worry.
I do see it a lot.
Okay.
I'm quite fortunate, like you. I've got, my youngest is 21. She's just finished university. And I feel that their generation, generally the guys, are a lot more open, the younger guys. But there's also still huge problems within swathes of society with young men as well. We only have to look at the award-winning drama that's just been on Adolescence
yeah.
to see how things can manifest and when there aren't the right things in place. And it doesn't matter, you can be within a loving, nurturing environment and these things can still go wrong.
I do think that we're getting better. People like, whatever you think of them, Prince Harry, Prince William, you know, some of the stars that the kids look up to, they're saying, you know, you've got to be more emotionally aware and emotionally intelligent. So I think that's helping the
younger
generation.
There's more open conversations about it and about, you know, people's struggles with mental health.
Because absolutely.
The reality is that, you know, it's just a spectrum. And we can all be on different parts of the spectrum at different parts of our lives, different moments in time. For women, different days of the month. You know, it fluctuates and life fluctuates. And, you know, the example that you gave before about sweeping the path, it is such a huge milestone.
It was.
In comparison to what was going on in your life at that time, you know, that is something to be celebrated. And so it's not about comparing ourselves to the rest of the world. It's not about looking at the list of things that we should be doing, but about
sweeping the path.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if just that is a huge thing for you, then you do it. And then you celebrate it, and you celebrate yourself, and you celebrate the achievement.
Yeah. I could walk over all the mess, and it was this time it was about 5 or 6 months. But each day I'd go out and have my coffee. I'd make myself get up, go and have my coffee. I'd make myself put makeup on and do all the normal things, leave the house and go. What I couldn't do was put the cushions on my bed. Mm-hmm. And that's what first made me realise that something was wrong. For a week, I wasn't putting cushions on my bed. And then I'd get to the cafe and I'd sit with my Kindle, and all of a sudden my head would start to drop down onto the table. I think, what's wrong?
Bless
and then
you.
I'd have to go home and go to sleep for 2 hours. And it took me about 5 days to start to question it. 7 days, and I knew there was something wrong. And then I read up on the tablets that I still got from last time. They were still in date. And I thought, before I even go to the doctors, I'm going to start on the tablets, which I did do. And so I'd already got a head start. And she said, it was good. You recognised the symptoms.
It's interesting. I've got in my notes about the fact that you know, self-awareness is a very big part of recognizing. And sometimes, unfortunately, if we've never experienced anything like this, we don't have that self-awareness to
I really do
pick
now.
Up on those symptoms.
Yes.
But if we don't, we're reliant on friends, family, and people are saying things to you, not necessarily out of bad, but out of good, because you're not seeing them yourselves. There's generally sort of this 80-20 rule. It's called the Pareto principle. Roughly 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. So believe it or not. So it's quite surprising. It's only it's not that much in our life that causes it, but the effects are huge.
Yeah. It's interesting about you saying about antidepressants, because I've done a couple of interviews, and I did one, I think last week, it might have been this week, and this man was coming on, and it's very controversial, and SSRIs don't work, and it's not a chemical imbalance in your brain, and there's new research, etc.
Rubbish.
But it works for some people. They've worked for me for 35 years.
Yes.
I've tried to come off
work
them.
For me.
That hasn't worked. They've worked for you, Sandra. So it's not a one-size-fits-all.
No, but I don't think anything to do with any of these related topics is a one-size-fits-all. Because look at us all sitting around here.
Mm.
We're not all the same size.
Exactly.
And one type of tablet might work for one person and might not work for another. I spoke to a guy and he said to me, they don't work. And I said, well, did you go back and tell the doctor they didn't work? And he said, no. And I said, what did you do? He said, I threw them away. And I said, dear. I rest my case.
Yeah.
I said, go back to the doctor and explain they don't work. And I said, then get some more tablets. Because I said, if your car didn't work when you took it from the garage, you'd go back and say it doesn't work. So what's the difference? Your body's not working.
Or try something else. I mean, it's not to say that tablets are right for everybody. It might be that they need CBT. It might be that they need counselling. It's just that you can't expect everyone to react to the same
There's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
It's a popular subject because we've had quite a few WhatsApps in. We're going to take a break and then we'll come to them. So we'll be back on the other side.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
This is the Me Nobody Sees. If you want to join in our conversation, this is how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34 645 9967 95.
Now, it is a popular subject. It obviously affects a lot of people. So I'm going to just read these out. The first one, I want to say thank you to Jason, who sent this earlier because we were interviewing somebody about it being Stress Awareness Month. And he said the best relief is walking in the mountains or the camper or the countryside. The triple benefits are stress relief, reconnection to nature, and it strips away all our artificial layers. Very well said, Jason. So thank you for that. And then Chica in the UK, what a great name, Chica. She said, I love this subject, ladies. It's so relevant to me. Since switching to remote work, which I know a lot of people understand now, particularly in the UK, I've been feeling increasingly burnt out. At first, I enjoyed the flexibility, but now it feels like I never truly leave my job. My boundaries between home life and work life are completely blurred. I'm struggling to disconnect. Have you heard of this happening to others? And what steps can I take to regain control and find balance?
I mean, I wish that I could say no, I haven't heard it. You know, it's not that common. But I think post-COVID in particular,
I think it's very common.
Yeah, life has changed for so many people, and COVID made so many of us, you know, make huge changes in our lives. And at the time, it seemed like, you know, working remotely was going to bring all of these amazing benefits. And it does. You know, there are some huge positive elements from working remotely. However, it can be more difficult, you know, to protect your own boundaries. When you work from home, you don't then close the door at the end of the day and off you go to a different space. You are just in that same space the whole time. And like we were just talking about off air, you know, it's become even more difficult with our mobiles, which are mini computers that we take with us everywhere.
Talking of which, I actually, you know, this is another thing. So going back to the lady that's written in about the remote working, she really does need to set herself definitive boundaries between what are office hours, what aren't. And if she's finding herself blurring things, she needs to get up and walk away from her desk. If she's got that flexibility, take yourself out, have a walk, like your Jason said. It really is. I stand by that. It is one of the most useful tools to have in your book, even if it's pouring with rain. There's no wrong weather, just wrong clothing. Go out, get in the fresh air, clear your head. It does make an absolutely massive amount of difference.
I think the problem is, as far as work's concerned, it's your boundaries. You can do that, but it's other people's boundaries. They're still emailing you and demanding an answer.
That's where you have to say, I'm terribly sorry.
You've got to learn to say no.
Learning to say no is the biggest problem that 90% of us have. It only took me... Where are we?
Something 21 like, years.
No, probably about 50 years to learn to how to say no.
I think I'd just add one more thing to that, and that's I work a lot with the idea of values and our personal values being like our personal compass to move through life. And I think, you know, I completely agree. Saying no to people, you know, respecting our own boundaries, knowing what we feel comfortable with and what we don't feel comfortable with is probably, you know, the thing that the majority of us struggle with. And even when we have the tools to do it and we think that we know how to do it, we don't always do it because, you know, we can go off the little path. And so one of the exercises that I do personally, but I also do with a lot of people that I work with, is around this idea of creating this personal compass of values. So maybe, you know, I'd say for Chica that's written in, maybe take half an hour to just sit down and choose the five values that you feel are the most important in your life. Forget about work, forget about, you know, about the remote working. Just think about you. Think about, you know, what are these five things that actually represent the person that you are? Once you've done that, write your own definition. So what do these five words mean to
you? Me.
Not, you know, what does society think about being, you know, integrity? What does society think about hard working? What does society know? What do I, Gemma, think about this word integrity, and what comes up for me? And I write absolutely everything down. And then give yourself a score from 1 to 10. Be really honest with yourself. Right now, with the way that things are going in your life, because obviously our values are flexible and they change. And like we said before, our emotions change and our lives change. So right now, at this particular moment in time, what's the score that you would give yourself from 1 to 10 for each one of those values? And that helps us to kind of connect with what's really going on.
I think that's a brilliant piece of practical advice without needing to go and see a doctor or go and do... Before you start with anything, this is a great piece of practical advice from Gemma, and I would advise everybody to do it. Because most people aren't very good at being introspective.
Yeah, no.
And looking at themselves.
No.
Because they're too busy looking out at everything else and taking care of everyone else.
Or we don't believe that
we are worth.
Yeah, or that we're allowed to do that because we've never been told that we're able to do that.
So I think that's a really, really top piece of advice.
Well, hopefully, Chica, in the UK, that will help. Oh, hang on, she's just sent something else. That's a great help. Thank you.
Yay.
You're welcome. Right. You're welcome. The next one is somebody who wants to remain anonymous. That's fine, but they're in Mallorca. I've been feeling really burnt out at work. You see, the work-related these are. I've been feeling really burnt out at work lately. I'm constantly juggling multiple projects, and it feels like I can never catch up. My motivation is at an all-time low, but I'm scared that if I slow down or take a break, things will pile up even more. What's your advice on balancing productivity with self-care, and how can I tell if I'm really burnt out or just stressed?
Great. Prioritise.
Learning to say no.
Prioritise.
Yeah.
And prioritising.
Yeah. But it is true about saying you can't say yes to everything. I mean, whether it's work or life.
We are so terrified these days, sorry, talking of you, Selena, of saying no, that we say yes.
Mm.
So instead of being sensible about things, we're frightened we won't have enough work, or we're frightened that if we don't say yes, somebody won't ask us again. All of those things. So we say yes, then find ourselves with so much.
You can't do it all properly.
You can't do it all properly, and then you get the overwhelm. It's good to say no, you know. It is absolutely good to say no. And actually, when you learn the ability to do that, is really when you change.
You're honestly taking control then.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you find it hard to say no, Sandra?
Not so much now. I've got older. I'm a lot older than everybody here.
I do agree, though. I think it has got easier as I've got older, and also with all the therapy and the learning that I've done. You know, it does take time.
Mm. I was just going to add one thing in that. You know, this idea around boundaries and saying no, you know, it's really important. And, you know, this is what I do in my job, and it's what I try to do in my life. However, the reality is that there's also times where we can't say no. There's other things, you know, whether it be at work because our boss or our colleagues are asking, you know, something from us, or family commitments. So I think just to shine a bit of light on the other side of the question, which was to do with the self-care, I think I would... You know, I would again ask the listener to just take 10-15 minutes to figure out what that actually means to them. So obviously, when we talk about self-care and we talk about self-love and we have this, you know, this beautiful idea of bubble baths and spas and face masks. Exactly, and candles. But self-care means so... I mean, and I love all of those things. You know, definitely on the top of my self-care list. But it can be as simple as taking 5 minutes, switching everything off. If you like to meditate, do a quick meditation, taking your awareness back to the breath. It can be eating something. You know, ask yourself, what do I need right now? And really listen.
Like and Michelle said, go for a walk.
Exactly, go for a walk.
Sometimes I just, it's as simple as putting in a pair of earplugs and listening to music, happy music for 10 minutes and just switching off from everything. I wrote a post about it actually the other week. I'm, as everybody knows, my phone is attached to me. And not that I'm on it all the time, but it's attached to me for a number of reasons. I went out the other week and I didn't realise until I was out that I'd forgotten my phone.
No.
Oh, shock horror. And I was out for the rest of the day.
Did you panic? Because I literally would have panicked.
Oh, once upon a million years ago, I would have panicked. But these days, I thought, no, you know what? Sod it. Enjoy it. Nobody can get hold of me. Yay. And I came home and I can't tell you the difference I felt.
You were chilled.
Totally and utterly, because I hadn't thought once about looking at anything on my phone. I knew no one could get hold of me. And if they really needed me that desperately, they'd have found a way. So, you know, there are a million and one different tricks we can do.
Yeah. Interesting.
And they don't all have to be these huge gestures.
No, not at all.
And that's what we forget. We think that, you know, self-care or you know, dealing with anxiety or dealing with burnout or dealing with depression, it's all about the big steps that we make. And of course they're important and they are great and they help. But it's in the tiny things that we change that we really start to notice the
difference. Those big steps only come because we've taken all the little steps in between.
Like sweeping the drive.
Exactly.
Well, we need to take another advert break. We had another WhatsApp and we've just had an email as well. So we'll take an advert break and we'll come back to them after these messages.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Okie dokie, this is the Me Nobody Sees. Just finishing off our conversation, Sandra, it's true what you were saying about self-care and self-love, because they say, don't they, on an aeroplane, you must always put your oxygen mask on first before you can look after somebody else's.
Totally.
And I also read this the other day that I wanted to read out. It says, today I read that butterflies rest when it rains because it damages their wings. It's okay to rest during the storms of life. You'll fly again when it's over.
That's lovely.
Awesome. Great quote. Right, let's get to this. Oh, this WhatsApp and this email. So Anonymous in Mallorca, I think the same as Chica. I think you could do the value test that Gemma had mentioned. I think that'd help.
I mean, to be honest, the value test works with everything, whether it be our personal lives, our business, you know, we can do it in our businesses as well. Relationships, it's an exercise that, you know, I use in all the different areas that I work with.
Great idea. So this one is, she said, I will call myself Abby from Calahonda, but she said that's not my real name. It's fine, it's no problem. I'm a working parent and I've been struggling with burnout for months. Between work, parenting and trying to maintain a social life, it feels like I'm running on empty. I'm constantly feeling guilty for not being able to give 100% to any of the roles. Do you have any suggestions on how to navigate burnout while trying to keep up with everything? Good question.
So difficult for mums, especially when we've got, you know, younger children that still need so much of us and so much of our energy and attention. I mean, again, I think I'd come back to this idea of values and self-care, you know.
I also would suggest as well, I mean, it's something that we tend not to do. I mean, I've been there. Fortunately, mine are older now, but they're still as demanding in their own way. You have to delegate, is learning to delegate when you're in that situation. And as parents, we want to get everything absolutely so spot on. If we run a business, we want to... You know, and you always think nobody can do it as well as me. And let's be honest, nobody generally can do it as well as you. But sometimes you don't have an option. And sometimes you need to delegate to give yourself that freedom of time and space to be able to do something else. So delegation is also something that we also have to take into account, and finding other people that we can use,
other friends,
take on friends.
Share it with, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And don't feel guilty. Your kids, you're doing it to give your kids the best.
And I also think these mums groups are good because other mums will be feeling exactly the same as you.
Yes.
And when you can get together either on social media or on a forum, you can sort of bat it off against each other,
like,
can't you?
Find your tribe.
Yes.
You know,
yes. I am huge about find your tribe, as Selena knows, and I think that's the most, for particularly for women with children, that's a really important aspect.
But I think women with children, people in business, you know, in all aspects of our lives, we are inherently tribal people.
Yes.
You know, if we go back to our ancestral roots, that is what we're always, you know, longing for. And I think to go back to the first message that came through, you know, so many more people are working remotely. A lot of things are done over the computer. And so we're losing this kind of physical contact, the time. And it's having a huge impact on our mental health. And so what you were saying about, you know, finding your people, finding your group, having a safe space where you can share what you're going through and not feel judged, because like Michelle was saying, there is nothing wrong in asking for help.
You have to learn to let go. And for a lot of people, that is the first big step to take.
Yeah.
They know they've got to do it. But it's a bit like taking the first step with dieting or stopping drinking.
It's like standing on the edge of the cliff.
It is.
And waiting to jump and thinking, am I going to fly or am I going to fall?
Mm.
But if you don't take the jump, you're never going to know.
Yeah.
There are also, just to point out, you know, I'm very involved with social media, and there are some amazing groups across the globe, locally, nationally, to wherever you are, that offer lots and lots of different outlets for different things. And my advice would be, look, see if there's something that piques your interest. Go along, take an hour out of your day. Nothing will fall apart.
You just have to put the one word in the search bar, don't
absolutely,
you? That you're
absolutely.
Interested in.
And see what comes up. And there's, you'd be amazed at how many other people there are out there in the same position as you.
Well, let's hope Abby in Calahonda, we know that's not your real name. Let's hope that helps. And one more. They haven't put any name. That's fine. Just a number. I've heard a lot about burnout. This is a really interesting program, but I'm not entirely sure what the signs are, or is that when it's too late? Is burnout something that can be prevented, or do you only realise you're burnt out when you're already in it? What are some small changes I can make to avoid reaching that point?
Good point. Right. Well, I suppose the main signs of burnout for most people would be exhaustion, depression, sleep issues, controlling one's temper, feeling like you're drowning in everything, and you just can't. You can't see the wood for the trees. And usually with burnout, you're in it before you've realised, I tend to think. Unless you're somebody who has had other issues or are used to being very self-aware, it's the lack of self-awareness that you find out.
So if you've never been in it before, that's when you get shocked.
Exactly.
Sandra knew the second time.
Yeah.
Exactly. But there are tips that you can do to help you. You know, just track your stress levels. Identify things that are your stressors that stress you out. Things that really are triggers that upset you. There are lots of useful things that lots of people recommend. They work for some, they don't work for others. Journaling, you know, exercise, all of those things. You know, there's also seeking professional help, going to speak to somebody like Gemma, or seeking out a psychologist or a therapist. There's nothing wrong with that either. Finding a support network, as we've discussed, exercise, and speak up. Don't be frightened to say, I'm struggling.
Yeah. And give them the symptoms. That's the main thing. Nobody can help you unless you speak up and say, I've got this, 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 and this. The problem is, for a lot of people, they go to the doctor, they never give the whole symptoms. They'll give a part story and then think the doctor will know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But as I keep saying, you wouldn't go to a garage and say, there's something wrong with my car. Find it. You'll go to a garage and you tell them everything that you think that's wrong with it, and then they'll find what it is. And we found out that you can have a blood test to find.
Yes, I didn't realize
to find
that.
What your serotonin levels are. And I just asked the question because I knew I was getting worse, and I said, can you have a blood test for that? And they said, certainly. And we found my serotonin levels were almost zero. So actually, I thought my next place I was going to be going was into a psychiatric unit.
Cortisol levels are also something that you should keep an eye on.
Let's just let Sandra finish.
So, you know, from that point of view, that was quite an interesting situation. So then they pumped the serotonin into me, and wow, one day it was like someone switched the switch over, and my kid said, whatever it is you're on now, Mum, we want some of that, you know. So
I think it's the first step as well. You are right, going to the doctors and being able to say, it's like speaking to someone like you, Gemma. It's not easy to pick up that phone and say, I think I might need help. You know, people are a bit reticent to go to counsellors or coaches. So I think that is a tough thing to start doing. And if you do that, that's the first step.
I mean, I always say to people that, you know, the hardest step is actually saying, I don't want to do this by myself anymore.
No.
And when you almost give yourself permission to do that, anything that comes afterwards, and I'm not saying that that's easy, because sometimes we go deep and, you know, we go into things, but it's never as hard as taking that first step. I think there's just one other thing that I'd add to the kind of symptoms of burnout, because I think that list is a brilliant list, and, you know, and anybody can look it up, and there's so much information out there nowadays, thankfully, about all of these types of things. But I think that for some people, they find it hard to actually put their finger on the symptoms. And so not everybody necessarily, because they don't have that self-awareness, or because they're not used to, or because it's just come out of the blue and you've no idea what the hell's going on, and, you know, I didn't used to be like this, and so everything becomes very foggy. And I think maybe a sensation, so rather than like a list of symptoms, which I 100% agree with, I think for a lot of people it can be this sensation of constant overwhelm and dread. And that then, you know, trickles into whether we sleep and all other things, but it's that kind of tightness
also,
in your chest.
As you say, 90% of people who aren't self-aware won't understand what that feeling they're experiencing is, or what's causing it. They'll just think, I can't cope.
Exactly. Yeah,
and it's negativity.
Mm. And it's like this pressure, this heaviness, this worry. You can't quite put your finger on it. And so these people, when they go to the doctor, they don't have the words to say, this is what's happening to me, because it's almost like a brain fog. Everything is so heavy that there's no clarity in anything. And so I think if, you know, to go back to the question, if that's a sensation, if that's a feeling that you are having the majority of the time, obviously we all feel overwhelmed at times, and we all feel like it's a bit too much, or a bit of brain fog, or sometimes we have sleepless nights. But if this is something that is ongoing and it's continuing, and you don't really know what to do, how to change things, that's probably a good sign that something isn't working. Yeah. And that is when, you know, it would be a good idea to reach out to, and if you don't feel comfortable doing it, to a professional, somebody that's close to you, someone that's in your family,
ask them to
a
go
friend.
With you.
Exactly. Or even just that be your first point of call to start talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it takes so much courage for people to talk openly about the things that are that are happening to them.
Yeah.
And I think that, unfortunately, that's one of the things that accompanies depression and a lot of mental health conditions is this difficulty to find the words to actually describe how you're feeling.
I say to people, now I suffer from depression, mental illness, I just say it, and they look at me and they say, what, you? And I say, yes, don't always look like this. Sometimes I look terrible, like I go out in my pyjamas with a coat over the top and earplugs in so that I can't hear anybody, but I force myself to go out and sit in a cafe quiet on my own.
Which is a great first step as well, to be able to do that.
And they look at me and I say, I probably haven't showered for a few days, haven't washed my hair, haven't done anything with me. And they look at me looking like I look now and they think she's lying.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely.
We have to take our third and final advert break. We'll be back on the other side.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
We're back with the final 10 minutes or so of the Me Nobody Sees. Gemma, you've been great on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you are a social coach, is that right?
I am, and it's not a term that many people know. No. It's like, is it social work? Is it coaching? What on earth do you do? This is a type of coaching that came from, or basically it's based on humanist psychology. So it contemplates, I always use the idea of the image of a triangle. So we have obviously our cognitive health, the way that we think, the way that we process things, almost like our programming, the things that have been instilled in our brain. Then on the other side of the triangle, we've got our emotions, emotional intelligence, which is, you know, a huge buzzword over the last 10 years. And it's so important to learn how to regulate our emotions and understand what's going on. But social coaching contemplates this third element, which is the body. How do these things show up in the body? How do they affect the body? And how, if things are too difficult, if we've got, you know, a huge trauma, and maybe we don't feel comfortable, you know, re-going over that cognitively, you know, from the mind, how we can access those things through the body as well.
That's amazing. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, which I feel a few people will from the WhatsApps, what's the best way? Do you have a website? Do you have a phone number?
I'm kind of everywhere.
Okay.
So if you look up Gemma Lee Edelman Coaching, all of my different platforms will come up, or you can find my website gemmaleecoaching.com, or you can call me on 0034 655 485 944.
And where are you based?
I'm based in Compiègne, which is the other side of Malaga, up in the mountains.
Oh my goodness, have you come all this way today?
I have, but like I said to the ladies, my sister's here with me and we've made a bit of a day of it.
So good, lovely.
We've done some self-care. We've had some self-care this morning.
Self-care. Quite right too.
But I work, I mean, you know, again, going back to this idea of remote working, everything is so easy nowadays. So I do a lot of work throughout the whole of Spain, the UK, the States. Boundaries aren't they're not an issue for us anymore.
No, it's just really lovely. It makes such a difference to be able to do that, doesn't it?
So as well as our coach, we have our two lovely survivors, Sandra and Michelle. Michelle, have you got any contact places for us?
Yes, as normal, I've got all the usual bits and bobs. Really, for anybody that's really struggling and hasn't anyone to talk to, please do contact Samaritans in Spain. There's always somebody at the end of the line. Their number from 10 a.m. till midnight is 900-525-100. And after hours, there is a number. It is a 0044 number, but it is applicable to Spain. 330-094-5717. Also, if you are in a position where you feel you want to get away and go and take yourself off for some burnout treatment, there are several areas and about 19 treatment centres in Spain for burnout. Go to recovery.com Spain, and you will find out a list of recovery treatment centres for burnout in Spain.
That's great, a burnout centre. That's fantastic.
Me, I just get on a plane and go somewhere.
Just go to a spa. Just go to a spa.
It is good, though, and it's. I think the word burnout, I think that's why we've had so many people write in, because it's not as daunting. If you say, well, yes, I suffer with depression, or I've got a psychosis, or I've got something else, but burnout, anyone can get burnout. So I think that... Yeah. The word burnout is good.
It's a good word.
It's all
good. You know what I'm saying? Don't you?
It's a very all-encompassing term.
I know what I mean.
And people don't, you know, they don't associate the negative connotation that they do, unfortunately, with so many
other words.
And they're all, you know, we can all experience any of these things, and it doesn't mean that we are doing anything right, anything wrong, that we are good, we are bad. And so whatever we're going through, at whatever point of life that we're at, it's all okay. Mm. And there is normally, you know, steps that we can take either alone or with the help of somebody that can help us to move forward and, you know, get to a different place.
We've all got mental health.
We all do.
Whether we like it or not.
We're all just mental, really.
There is that. And Sandra, it's lovely to see you. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing great. What I did was people started to notice, including my family, that I was starting to become very insulated. You know, I wouldn't go out. I was happy with my Kindle, was my best friend, and the coffee shop, and I would sit down there for hours and read and just come back to the house. And I was happy doing that. But I was starting not to mix with people. So one of my close friends was the president of ICE, the International Club of Estepona. And she said, why don't you just come down on Thursday and have a coffee? Nice as Paul DeFay. She said, just come down now and again. Well, it's ended up with me redesigning all their Christmas decorations last year. And on the 19th of June, I'm doing an Ascot Ladies' Day afternoon tea. And I'm totally encompassed in it, which was really the best thing that could have happened, that they recognised it and I picked up on it, and I'm helping everybody and chatting away.
It's giving you
and
a
it's
purpose
turned
now.
Me completely around. I still have my Kindle and I still like to go and have my cake and coffee every day.
And have you still got your Christmas tree up 24/7?
I have. It's Easter at the moment. We've done Valentine's. And after Easter it'll be summer tree. Yes, I still have my Christmas tree up.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Well, thank you ladies so much. Give yourselves a round of applause. That was the Me Nobody Sees. Thank you to all our contributors. Thank you for you for listening. Hannah is next for the next 2 hours. I will be giving my voice a break for a couple of days, and hopefully by Sunday morning for the request show, your Sunday selection, I will be able to talk a little bit better. And I'll be back, of course, on Monday with more lifestyles. But for today's show, it's time for this.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.